Hi everyone, welcome to B3's podcast on the financial results for the fourth quarter of 2020. I'm Leandra Perez, B3's Communications Associate Director, and I have here with me today Daniel Sonder, B3's CFO, and Marcela Bretas, B3's Investor Relations Director. We start by asking you, Sonder, just to put in a nutshell, what was 2020? I know it's been a year that hasn't been defined yet, but when we look at B3's operational results, the capital markets in Brazil, and the economy overall, what would you point out?
Hi, Leandra. Hi, everyone. I think, first of all, we need to highlight the severity of the crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and the extent to which this created an unparalleled change and challenge for almost all the sectors in the economy. And obviously, the impacts are still being felt. We continue to face a lot of uncertainties regarding potential new waves of the pandemic in Brazil, and this must obviously be a part of our conversation when we look back at 2020 and ahead for 2021. In the capital markets specifically in Brazil, I have no doubt that we are going through a transformational moment, and this is due to historically low interest rates combined with increased sophistication and portfolio diversification among Brazilian investors, both in the retail and in the institutional side. We also saw in the last quarter of 2020 the return of foreign capital into the equities market with a net inflow of R$63 billion. In this background, companies continue to tap the local markets for debt and equity to raise money for their plans and also to provide exit for certain investors. In the fourth quarter of 2020, there were 16 IPOs and follow-ons for a total amount of R$39 billion. And for the full year of 2020, this number reached close to R$120 billion. We also saw a recovery in credit activity in Brazil, especially in the last few months of the year. The volume of new issues of bank funding instruments and the registered stock of these assets here at B3 grew more than 40% year-over-year in the last quarter of 2020.
Well, thank you, Sonder, for the overview. Now, Marcelo, when we look at the story of 2020 and how the markets behaved, we see that the daily volume traded in the third and second quarters was basically a function of volatility and the increased impact of the pandemic. Is this also true for the fourth quarter? Did we see a repeat of that story?
Hi, Leandra. Hi, everyone. Nice talking to you again. Well, Leandra, to a certain extent, yes, turnover has been higher than what we observed historically, reaching close to 174% in the fourth quarter. But differently from what we saw, especially in the second quarter, the main driver was not the high volatility that played a preeminent role, especially in the first few months of the pandemic, but the inflow of capital. Additionally, asset prices continued to recover and more companies listed their shares, which also had a positive impact on the market cap side of the ADTV equation. So these movements were supported by resilient demand, especially from local investors, and in particular from individual investors. We ended the year with more than 3 million active accounts in our equity depository, twice as many as we had at the end of the year of 2019.
All right, then. And when we look at the other businesses that B3 has, can we come to the same conclusion? Did we see high growth and better results in all of those lines?
Well, in the listed derivatives market, ADV, which is the number of contracts traded, fell slightly year on year, 6%. However, part of these contracts are priced in dollars. So the devaluation of the real had a positive impact on prices, and as a result, on the segment's revenues. A similar trend was observed in the OTC derivatives market, which are mainly hedge instruments. So issue volumes remained relatively stable, but the exchange rate devaluation caused the balance in custody to increase, propelling revenues. Still talking about the OTC market, in addition to the robust growth in bank funding instruments issues that was previously mentioned by Daniel and had the recovered in credit activity as a driver, we had an 18% growth in the Treasury Direct investor base in the fourth quarter of 2020. Moving on to the infrastructure for financing business, we observed a certain recovery in the activity of its underlying markets, which are vehicle sale and vehicle financing activities. So we saw a 15% increase in revenues compared to the last quarter of 2019. Finally, in the technology, data and services segment, which represents about 12% of our total revenues, the average number of customers using our monthly OTC service increased by 6%, a result driven mostly by the continued growth of the fund industry here in Brazil. Also, data revenues grew more than 40% year over year, impacted by both higher demand for our products and by the devaluation of the exchange rate, since some of our products here are priced in dollars.
And going back to you, Sonder, when we look at a strong operational result in 2020, how did that translate into revenues?
So our total revenues grew 44% year over year, and that reflected growth in almost all of our segments of the business. The exception was the OTC market, where we saw a drop of 5% in revenues compared to 2019. And this was because we made a change in pricing early in 2020, which aimed at sharing with our clients some of the benefits of scale and operating leverage. In this new pricing for OTC, part of the tariffs for services linked to OTC volumes were incorporated in the monthly usage package, for which we charge a fixed fee that is accounted in the technology and access revenue line. In terms of the expenses, Leandra, we totaled for the fourth quarter 722 million reais in expenses, total expenses, and this is up 10% compared to the same quarter of last year. And the change is mainly due to investments in new projects and also increased investments in ongoing projects related to the infrastructure and the controls of our trading platforms. And this is in line with our roadmap for 2020.
All right, then. Looking a little bit down on the products that we put in the market, Marcela, last quarter, we spoke about the BDRs, the regulatory change that made BDRs available to retail investors. Did the product perform well? What other initiatives would you highlight from the fourth quarter?
Yes, Leandra. So following the change in regulation that was announced by CVM in September, BDRs became available to individual investors in October, which was a highly anticipated change. Since then, performance has been very strong. So just to give you a few numbers, in 2019, 5 billion reais of BDRs were traded by approximately 3,000 investors. In 2020, we ended the year with a volume that was more than six times higher, reaching close to 30 billion reais, and we had more than 169,000 investors with BDRs in their portfolios. More recently, this past January, average daily traded volume of BDRs was 340 million reais, which is almost three times higher than the ADTV we've observed in 2020. And we also had other product launches in the fourth quarter of 2020. I would highlight in the listed segment, the automatic options exercise. In the OTC segment, we launched our energy market platform, which is a multi-year project that we believe can be very important for this market. And in the infrastructure for financing segment, we announced a number of new services in our real estate platform, for which we are leveraging on the acquisition of Portal de Documentos, which was completed back in 2019. Finally, I would also like to talk about B3's new pricing policy for cash equities. So in December 2020, we announced an intermediary model that was no longer contingent on market participants' systems readiness. So this intermediary model was an adjustment to the price policy that we announced in the beginning of 2020, and it aims to anticipate much of the discounts and incentives proposed by the price review. It became effective in February and delivers mostly discounts to day traders and retail investors.
All right, then. Thanks very much, Marcela. Having looked at our businesses, at our financials, and also at the macro of 2020, Sander, I'd like to ask you to comment a little bit, looking ahead, what can we expect when we look at B3's performance for this year, for 2021, and also your main concerns about the macroeconomic scenario in Brazil and worldwide?
Sure. So we start 2021, as I mentioned, we've seen already 15 IPOs by February, and there are at least 30 other transactions that are in the pipeline for the short run. If the macro conditions, you know, do not change severely, it's possible that we're going to see a 2021 that has similar or higher volumes than we saw in terms of transactions for last year. On the investor side, the sophistication and the diversification of portfolios in search for greater yields has increased the attention and the interest for new products. And we see a lot of companies using the capital markets as a source of their long-term financing. So we are relatively optimistic, but also very committed that B3 will continue to support this transformation and the growth of the capital markets by offering new products, by improving the solutions available to our clients, and by continuing to honor the confidence that market participants have placed in the robustness of our infrastructure, especially during this time of increased demand and requirements on our capacity. And lastly, Leandra, I do want to close by mentioning an update on our efforts to provide social investment and relief to the most vulnerable parts of the Brazilian population with respect to the impact of coronavirus. At the end of the year of 2020, we finished a large project which aimed at directing 50 million reais in donations to the areas of health, to small businesses, and to different parts of poor communities. This was done through B3 as well as B3 Social, which is a non-government entity of which we are founding partners. And we believe that these donations are not only aligned with our values and the way that we see our role in society, but also a duty that we have towards, you know, the Brazilian population in a time of particular pain.
Well, and taking the liberty of speaking as someone from B3's team, I think what we did here gave us the chance as people that work at B3 to also help out with those in need at a time so crazy like the one we've been living, and also gave us another way of looking at B3 not only as an infrastructure in the financial market, but also to show people that we do value and we do act on those views, that we make a difference, and part of our mission is also to develop the country and develop the economy. So, we've reached the end of our podcast. Sonder, Marcela, thank you again for being here with me. To all our listeners, I hope the information we brought is useful. The content is available on the Investor Relations website. The audio can be downloaded and shared by email or WhatsApp.
Thanks everyone for listening. Our IR team is available to help with any questions or suggestions, so please feel free to reach out to us. See you next time.
Thank you, Leandra. Thank you, Marcela. And thanks to all the investor relations and communication teams for putting this together. You can find all of our fourth quarter results numbers in the website and in other media. Thank you.